Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, May 29, 2020. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. That's right, it's Friday. Friday, we've been waiting for you. Where you been? Well, doesn't matter. I don't care who you were with before, you're with me now, and that's all that matters. You got me? That's right. Oh! Let's get this day rolling so we can get it over. That's right. Looking forward to the weekend. Fun. We'll have fun today, hopefully. I think. As long as Nate doesn't walk out in the middle of the show and not come back without telling anybody why.
I have been known to do that, haven't I?
Or maybe that will be fun. I don't know. Jake, we got to prepare for anything, don't we?
We all have our own definition of fun, right? So that might be fun for me if Nate walks out of here, where it wouldn't be very fun for you because you'd have to be hosting the show by yourself. But then I wouldn't have to look at Nate.
But you got to be prepared for everything is my point.
Because yeah,
when it comes
to
Nate, that's on the table, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what life's all about, being prepared for the unexpected, right?
Well, apparently
we could be,
that should be expected.
We could be in the middle of a heartwarming and very wonderful game of blackout bingo with about a dozen very nice and very excited residents at the Tiffany Springs senior living community.
I'd use the word excited loosely.
Don was excited.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Some of them are not very entertained with our
The week before, Steve and Diane, it seemed, were irritated by, I don't know.
The delay. They just want the letter and number called. And so we make it fun. Nate does some what happened on today's date, and I do some birthdays on today's date, and Steven reads the numbers and letters. And they don't want to stop. They don't want to hear from Nate and I. They keep it coming.
Steven. For people that don't understand what we're talking about, we have a very wonderful listener named Carrie, and she works at this facility, and her grandmother is also living at the facility, and she had reached out a month or so ago and asked if I'd be interested in conducting some bingo via Zoom for some of the residents. I said, well, that sounds good. Let's do this. Let's do it. And so I did it, and then I invited you guys to, and I think this is my fourth or fifth time. I can't remember. It's been quite a few, but that was the second time you guys have joined me, and the first time. And so what I do is I'll read off some famous birthdays, and then in between, pulling the, 071, I repeat, 071, and then we'll have, and talk about what happened, things that happened in history on that date, and so just to kind of break it up, and then I'm glad to have you guys there, because then Jake does all the birthdays and fun facts about that, and plays some music to go along with it, like Bobby Darin was one of the birthdays a couple of weeks ago, and so then Jake's playing Beyond the Sea, and then, everyone loves it, and I love it, too. And then Nate will talk about something that happened on that date in history. And then we did not know, but Nate had also a couple of musical interludes prepared and played songs on his ukulele. I think most of the people love it. And are excited, they'll clap their hands, and as Jake put, there's a couple of wonderful residents that are there to play bingo and they're there to win. And anything that's slowing that process, maybe they don't want.
Just read the damn numbers.
Right. And so, and we thought maybe Steve was part of that crew. But yesterday, he was the first one to say hello to me. He was very excited.
Oh, he was smiling.
Yeah, he was. And so maybe they liked it more than we thought. So we started another game of Blackout Bingo. Everyone was very excited to see who was going to win. Don was wearing his Lucky Chiefs hat. Steve and Diane were ready. Everyone was good to go. And we started off 15 or 20 minutes in. All of a sudden, you see, and I have my daughters are there to pull the numbers, and they enjoy interacting with everyone. And then Kelly all of a sudden brings the baby in, and everyone's eyes lasted. I said, bring the baby to the camera. And they just flat out ignored it. Bring the baby to the camera.
I didn't hear that.
I said, they want to see the baby. And everyone wanted to see the baby. And even Jake, you heard me. I said, Brad, get that baby over here. Let the baby say hi.
He's like, oh, never mind.
Let the baby say hi.
I didn't hear that.
And I mean, like clockwise. As soon as I say, hey, bring the baby closer. Everyone wants to see the baby. That baby's gone.
Bye-bye.
I said, you can't do that. You can't do that to grandmas and grandpas.
Oh, that's a bummer.
You can't just barely show a baby.
Right, right.
That's like somebody walking in and showing a platter of tacos to me real fast. Like, here you go, and then gone. Like, hey, wait a minute.
No, where are you going? Back here.
Let me see those tacos a little closer.
And so then, and then Nate just gets up, grabs a cell phone, and he is gone.
See ya.
Never to return, which I expected. It was something very important, but people were confused. There were still some songs left in the vault that you did not perform. And anyway, by the way, Diane won, by the way.
Oh, nice, Diane. Way to go. Way to go.
That was very fired up. Mm. So we just want to make sure you're not going to get up and walk away during the middle of the show. So
I'll be honest,
if that's a possibility, let us know so we can prepare.
If my wife comes into the studio holding the baby and giving me a cell phone and with a really look on her face like, hey, this is important, you need to take
this. You're taking the call.
Yes, I will.
She didn't look happy. I was concerned because she did not look happy.
No.
She did not look happy whatsoever.
She was in the background. It's like she was like, didn't know, like, okay, I got to pick my moment. And then, like, you see you turn, like, because you were muted. And, like, so you, like, see you, Nate. And then Kelly, like, oh, usually Kelly has a smile. Like, oh, I'm going to say hi to everybody.
No. I thought you were being scolded.
Well, I kind of was.
Yeah, you kind of look like it.
Because for full disclosure, at the same time that we were doing the bingo, we have one of our son's third grade teacher is going to be watching our kids this summer while we're at work. And so it's pro tip for you out there. If you can find a teacher that's interested in doing that, your kids have to learn stuff over the summer and they really get mad at you. But anyways, so she came over yesterday at 2 o'clock to go over like all the things that are going to happen this summer and how, you know, what the rules are and all. And you have to understand something about Kelly Howell Bucati. She spent, I have to guess, 10 hours putting together like a three-ring binder with contact information of every person in the neighborhood, a detailed schedule of the day, rules and regulations of the house. I mean, it is like a manual for watching our kids, and I love it because I'm not doing that. so that's awesome that she does that. But the teacher that's going to be watching our kids was over to go over all that stuff at the same time that we were, and I was like, well, I'm going downstairs to play bingo. And Kelly was a little annoyed with me. So then when an important phone call came in, she was in the middle of trying to tell our summer
sitter.
That
makes a lot more sense.
And she said, you need to take this call. Right. I can't do this right now.
I can't do everything, Nate.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And I'm sorry. When my wife has a look on her face, I will step and fetch whatever she tells me to step and fetch. So I
knew there was a problem.
There was a backstory. We knew there was a backstory, and we just guessed.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you very much to the wonderful folks at Tiffany Springs Senior Living Community for allowing us to host their Blackout Bingo, and thanks to Carrie for thinking of us. And not only the Border Patrol, we're not the only ones that have done it. You know that Rex Hudler and Steve Fizziak also called a game of bingo.
That's awesome.
And so that, you know, I don't know if we live up to that.
No, we don't.
I don't know if either of those two played any songs.
Right.
We did.
Did they play a ukulele poorly?
I don't think so. I didn't hear all of it, but I do not think so. So that's how we spent yesterday afternoon, and we just wanted to make sure that Nate was not going to leave us high and dry again.
I can't make any promises.
Right in the middle of this. Well, we'll find out.
Yep.
But we do have plenty of other things to keep us occupied today on this Friday. Of course, we'll have Stan Weber on the phone in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll get the weekend forecast from Gary Lezak. We'll talk to Mike McFarlane as well. We'll have James Krause to preview the UFC card coming up over the weekend and get his thoughts on the real possibility, if there's any possibility that we will actually see a super fight between Conor McGregor and Anderson Silva, or if he would want to see that fight. I feel like that, I don't know if I want to see Anderson Silva in that fight at this point. This Anderson Silva. There are other people that I right now would like to see Conor McGregor fight instead, but I'm never going to say no to a Conor McGregor fight, and especially a legend like Anderson Silva, although I just don't know. That's always one of the more difficult things to watch in combat sports, when a great fighter is fighting someone when they're well past their prime, and it just wouldn't feel like he'd have a great shot. But you've seen upsets before, and you've seen great fighters have that. They always think there's one. They have that one great performance, that one great fight left. We'll talk to James Krause about the social media war of words between Anderson Silva and Conor McGregor. It's actually been pretty respectful, but they hammer things out on Twitter, so we'll see if it's actually going to stick with Dana White, who's saying, hey, slow down. Doesn't matter if the fighters agree. I have to make sure that the fight's going to happen. So we'll talk to James Krause about that. Also, we had Chiefs assistant coaches speak to the media yesterday, so we will get a chance to listen to a good chunk of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Andy Hill, former longtime Mizzou player and coach, is now the assistant special teams coach under Dave Tobe, who he was on the staff with at Mizzou, and so a good friend and now a member of the staff with Dave Tobe. We'll hear from Andy Hill about his new role with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll also hear from Brendan Daly, the excellent defensive line coach, who I don't know if he gets enough credit for how good he is. I remember he was with the Patriots before he was with the Chiefs, and so we will hear from him. We'll hear from Sam Madison talking about the defensive backs, and Dylan McCullough will also talk about the running backs and how happy he is to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Chiefs' first-round pick, in his room now. So we've got all of that. If you're craving some Chiefs talk, we'll have some fresh sound from Chiefs assistant coaches coming up. Hell, we'll just do that coming up, starting off in the next segment. So we've got all that and more coming up for you on this Friday, May 29th. We made it to Friday. Let's have a good one right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. You are welcome, Kansas City, because if you were listening to the show yesterday when we had one half of the Racing Boys on the show, Kirk Elliott, I was asking him for some advice on my DraftKings lineup and also for anyone that wanted to have any extra fun watching the race last night. And Kirk Elliott made his pick to win the race. And that pick was Chase Elliott. And Chase Elliott won last night in the rain-delayed event at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It was his first Cup victory of the season. And Kirk Elliott told you he would win last night. I mean, I don't know what else you want.
Kirk Elliott.
Jake, Kirk Elliott told you who was going to win the race.
Kirk Elliott.
Several hours before it started. Did you take advantage of his information?
Take advantage how?
Did you take advantage of his information?
No say.
Steven. By the way,
no say.
Very good information.
No say, Steven. No say.
Did he or did he not say Chase Elliott was going to
that? Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to pick this guy or that guy.
No, he said these guys. He said
Chase Elliott's
going to
win.
In the interview, you asked him again. Chase Elliott's your guy, right?
There's no way Jake took advantage of that because he would have come in bragging about it before we even started the show today.
I don't have a whole lot to brag about right now.
Right. Well, that would have been a good one. And so thank you to Kirk Elliott for correctly predicting Chase Elliott.
Kirk Elliott.
We have no idea if there's any relation, but I'm going to assume that I'm going to hope that there is. And so Kirk Elliott picks Chase Elliott on the Border Patrol yesterday, and Chase Elliott comes through with the victory. Now let's talk Chiefs, because they are the champs.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty clear. And yesterday we had several assistant coaches available via Zoom. Todd Lebo able to put together some sound for us. And one of my favorite people in sports, Andy Hill, longtime assistant coach with Mizzou, former wide receiver at Mizzou, one of the best recruiters this town has ever seen, pulling talent out of this area for several years for the Missouri Tigers. And now Andy Hill working for the team that he grew up a fan of, the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's very exciting. Let's hear from the new assistant special teams coach under Dave Tobe. Andy Hill says growing up in the state of Missouri made him a Chiefs fan.
Trenton, Missouri, 1,000% Kansas City Chiefs. My parents used to take me down to the training camp at William Jewell in 1985 when I was lucky enough to have a choice between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Kansas City Chiefs. I obviously chose a Chiefs to come to training camp. And back then they used to cut every Monday after preseason games. And so every Monday you're holding your breakfast tray, hoping the Turk wouldn't get you and make eye contact with you at breakfast. But it was up until the last, I made it to the last cut. I know that was a year they cut back, but they had a bunch of good receivers, Carlos Carson, Stephon Page, Henry Marshall, a bunch of guys that were really good players. And I was very fortunate just to get the tryout.
Did you enjoy the experience, Andy?
It was great back then. It's certainly a pleasure to be part of the Chiefs organization now. But I've been a Chiefs guy. I used to have a Super Bowl champion whenever they won it. 1969, I got a sweatshirt. And a buddy, we were playing kill the guy with the ball. And a buddy ripped my Chiefs sweatshirt from the Super Bowl championship. And I ran home crying. So that's my memory from the 69 world champions back in the good old days.
How about that game, Jake? That sounds like a game you would have played. Kill the guy with the ball.
Yeah.
Is that something that you ever took part in?
Yes. We called it something different, though.
Yeah, used to have
did anybody rip your sweatshirt? Did you run home crying like Andy Hill did?
I got my nose caved in one time, though.
Did you run home crying?
I had to have my brother hold a T-shirt over my face as I drove us home. Because my nose would not stop bleeding. So he did not know how to drive a manual car, and my car was manual. And so as I was driving, he was sitting there holding a T-shirt over my face while I was driving us home. Because
so you said Manuel was with you, and he had a T-shirt on your face.
Yes, Manuel.
Well, that's good. Manuel. Give me that T-shirt.
You're going Manny.
It's just funny, man. It's cool because I've had a really good relationship for a long time with Andy. Going back to when I first started, I still remember having an animated conversation with Andy after the game where Mizzou lost to Oklahoma when Brad Smith had the incredible rushing performance. And Oklahoma had the fake field goal, I think, for a touchdown, and they won. And that was the night where a very nervous young student reporter asked Gary Pinkel if, because I think Brad Smith had taken a really big hit and left the game briefly and came back into the game, and right after that threw an interception, and I think, and he was just, and Brad Smith was magnificent that game. And he did make a mistake or two, though, and I think the question was, that interception, did Brad Smith start to really show his inexperience or something? And it just, it wasn't the moment to really say anything, even though Missouri lost, say anything derogatory. That wasn't the storyline there. It was wow, Mizzou hung with Oklahoma, and even though they lost, everyone was marveling at the performance from Brad Smith, and Gary Pinkel did not have a good reaction to the question about Brad Smith.
Before I say something I don't want to you, I'm not going to say anything. That's my mom taught me that. I was about six.
Oh, I think Coach Pinkel then read Brad Smith's stats, a reading of his stats. You know, doesn't seem like you struggled here. And so, and then I was talking to Andy. I'll never forget. Had a long conversation with him just about that game, and about Brad Smith, and about his experience, Andy Hill's experience. He had played Oklahoma when he was on the team as a player and beaten them, and then had been on the coaching staff when they had beaten Oklahoma, when I think John Blake was the head coach. And then we're just talking about how that game played out. It was a crazy game. And I look back at some text messages after key Chiefs victories. Go Chiefs, baby. Is the last Super Bowl focused text from Coach Hill. So it's cool for me to see now that he's not in Mizzou, that at least he landed with the Chiefs, knowing how much he's loved the Chiefs his whole life and being a Chiefs fan. So I think it's great, and I think he's a hell of a football coach. He says taking a job where Dave Tobe says you have to do a lot of BS is still a pretty good thing.
The Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, and the fact that, I mean, again, we are Chiefs fans. My daughter got married last Friday night, so we're done with that, which is great. And her fiance, now her husband, is a Chiefs season ticket holder, so we're Chiefs all the way around. And you know, I had some opportunities to stay at Mizzou outside the coaching realm here. But it was such a great opportunity, I felt like, that, you know, I've talked about trying to get into the NFL for a few years. And although this is a, as he called it, a lower level position, and I'll be doing some stuff that I've had guys do stuff for me in the last couple of years. But the truth is, I mean, it's such a great opportunity to work with Andy Reid and Dave Tobe and, you know, Eric Bieniemy and Steve Spagnuolo. Those guys are just special people and special coaches. And we got number 15. So. Let's go to work.
We got number 15, baby. Andy Hill also talks about his new boss, Dave Tobe, and how they've been friends for a long time since they coached together at Mizzou.
I'm in my basement right now, and Dave Tobe, before he got hired by Andy Reid in Philadelphia, was finishing up my basement. And if you ask about half the people in Columbia, Missouri, if you have a house addition or a basement finish, Dave Tobe was probably doing that the time he was here. But yeah, Dave and I have kept in great touch. You know, when he was lucky enough to get into the NFL with Coach Reid back in Philadelphia, I didn't ever go out to Philadelphia, but when he got hired at Chicago Bears back early in the 2000s, I went up several times to visit him and all their other coaches, because I was coaching some special teams at the time, but also a different, mostly wide receiver, but different positions. So I would go with the Bears, and then I've been very fortunate the last couple of years when he's been with the Chiefs in Kansas City. I recruit Kansas City for the Missouri Tigers back then, and I would stop by practice when this time of year, actually, after Memorial Day, when they were in phase three of OTAs, and I had a chance to go by a practice or two the last couple of years. We had always Jeremy Maclin and Chase Daniel and Mitch Morris and some guys, and so it's very fortunate to get in there and see them, and that's been – our relationship's been pretty much the same the entire time.
Now, the question I have, does anyone here think that Dave Tobe still does basements? That he still dabbles in that work at all, or is it just all special teams now?
Well, I think that he probably was all special teams. Maybe during this pandemic, he's he's open for business. You know, you got to find something to do with your time.
He strikes me as someone that would do just a fine job, excellent work,
thorough.
Yeah,
they'd be there, right? And you know, I think anybody, there's a right price. I mean, I'm sure you want Dave Tobe to do some work for you. You get the money, honey. He's got the time.
Everything's got a price.
Yeah, right. I mean, you usually meet someone before they're going to do work on your house. You meet with Dave Tobe, you feel pretty good.
Yeah.
About the job he's going to do in your basement, I think. I mean, that would be my
craftsmanship. I feel like his attention to detail is very good.
Absolutely.
You guys both hit the nail on the head. Attention to detail and craftsmanship. Be wonderful work. I'd like to talk to Dave Tobe about that. I have some questions about my basement. Maybe he could answer. And finally, Andy Hill says that although he's spent a lot of time coaching offense in his career, he's no stranger to special teams.
With Coach Pinkel, everybody had a special team. So I was really focused on the punt team for like 15 years. And I was also involved with kickoff return with Larry Smith and Gary Pinkel. And I've been involved with a lot of special teams over time. And in the last 2 years, I was just special teams only. So the biggest transition really is going to be the rule changes and how you deal with in the gunners going out of bounds, and certainly the kickoff rules have changed with the setting of the guys up front. So just really, to me, the adjustment is going to be the rule changes and trying to, you know, the evaluation of talent as you get into fall camp.
That was now the assistant special teams coach, Andy Hill, for your Kansas City Chiefs, who spoke to the media yesterday. We will take a break. More after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, May 29th. Let's give you some more NFL. Roger Goodell had a conference call, the NFL commissioner. Here's a couple of short clips from Raj. Here, he tells us the virtual offseason will last a few more weeks.
We also mentioned to the clubs today, and we'll be sending a notice out later this afternoon, that we will be extending our virtual offseason at least two more weeks. And we have gotten a tremendous reaction from coaches and players. I specifically have talked to many. The offseason virtual workouts have worked very well and as designed, both by the NFLPPL earlier this spring under the circumstances.
Roger Goodell also talks about the safety protocols being their highest priority.
We'll also continue to work with the OPA and our medical experts to ensure that we are doing everything to ensure a safe return for our players, not only to the facilities, but also to training camps for preseason games, and, of course, the start of the regular season. That's the highest priority we have.
So there are a couple of comments from Roger Goodell yesterday during his press conference. Sticking with the NFL, this has been, of course, a very interesting offseason for new Arizona Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. What a turn of events for him as he has established himself as one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He's finally built a great rapport with an outstanding young quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and then he gets traded to the Arizona Cardinals in one of the more interesting and somewhat bizarre trades of the offseason. But at least he lands with another young quarterback. We don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be as good or better or how he's going to compare with Deshaun Watson. But DeAndre Hopkins will have a chance to help Kyler Murray get better. And so DeAndre Hopkins had a few things that he had to say yesterday, and I was anxiously waiting to hear if he had anything to say about Bill O'Brien. We know how bizarre that situation has been. And so let's hear from DeAndre Hopkins on a number of topics here. He was asked about Bill O'Brien.
He's a competitive guy. I'm a competitive guy. We both want to win football games, you know, so that's all. I'm not going to speak on that too much.
How about Bill O'Brien trying to justify the trade?
I haven't spoken on that too much. You know, obviously that's my agent, you know, and them, but I just wanted, you know, to be compensated for what I was worth. Obviously, I was making little or nothing, you know, compared to where my play was. I mean, it's a business. They felt like they made the right moves, and I wish Deshaun the best. He's one of my best friends, you know, not just on the football field, but out the field. So I wish him the best.
DeAndre Hopkins caught passes from 10 different quarterbacks since he was drafted by the Houston Texans in 2013. But, of course, he had his most success with Deshaun Watson after he was drafted. With Watson at quarterback, Hopkins had 268 catches for 3,373 yards and 25 touchdowns in 38 games. That's pretty damn good production. And now we'll see what he can do with Kyler Murray in that offense. And so here is one more from DeAndre Hopkins on thinking that he's the best receiver in football.
I definitely think I'm the best. I know I'm the best. You know, Mike, my boy, I love Mike. We was texting yesterday, but he know if I had Drew Brees my whole career, what these numbers would be. Julio Jones know if I had Matt Ryan my whole career. That's my boy. I trained with Julio, too. He know what these numbers would be. So, you know, those guys are definitely blessed to be in a position where their whole career they had a Pro Bowl quarterback that they spent, you know, multiple seasons with. You know, but I don't complain. I don't make excuses. I go out and work. Obviously, you know, my team won a division championship 5 out of 7 years since I was there. And I think every team in that division went out and tried to get a DB every draft to stop what was coming to them every, you know, every year. But, you know, nothing against those guys. But, you know, I definitely made 3 All-Pro first teams also.
Who's the best receiver in football, Nate and Jake?
Michael Thomas. I think.
Jake. Oh, he's thinking. Look at that.
I'm probably still taking Julio. I mean, he's just a physical specimen that, I mean, if I'm starting my team starting next year, I think he's on the downside. I think Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins have their best maybe couple of years ahead of them. And I think Julio is about there. He might have 1 year left of his top peak. But I think Thomas and Hopkins have a bigger upside. But right now, if you just said, hey, who's your guy going into one game? You have one game to win. I'm probably taking Julio. That guy's just a monster.
Obviously, there's so much more in a team sport like football that you're dependent on. I mean, having a good quarterback, having an offense that wants to throw the ball a lot, all the stuff around you. So it's not fair to just compare numbers straight
up. Running games.
But
where's Tyreek Hill?
Michael Thomas had 1,700 receiving yards.
Oh, yeah,
last
broke the record.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, he broke record.
I put
top five.
Yeah, I put Tyreek Hill up there.
Probably number 4 or 5.
I'm looking at one. This is just one list that has Michael Thomas 1, Julio Jones 2, DeAndre Hopkins 3, Mike Evans 4, Tyreek Hill 5, and then the rest of the top 10, Chris Godwin, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen.
I'd rather have Tyreek than Evans.
Kenny Galladay. Yep.
No way I put Evans ahead of Tyreek.
He didn't, though, right? Didn't you say Hill was top 5?
Yes. But on that list,
Mike Evans was 4.
Oh,
Evans
okay.
Was 4 and
gotcha. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Well, I'm wrong. I was wrong. No, I'm with you though. I'm with you. I think the Tyreek Hill gets knocked because his numbers were not as great last year. Now, number one, he was injured.
I didn't play full
for 4 games. And number two, we have to remember again that he's sharing the football with Travis Kelce and you know a lot of other weapons that maybe some of those other guys aren't sharing the ball with as much, too. So, I mean, to me, you look at it and you see what a defense has to do to account for Tyreek Hill. And I just think, I look at it from that standpoint. Like, if I'm a defensive coach, who screws my team up the most? who do I find the most difficult time dealing with?
Best big play, the most explosive, the best big play wide receiver, the best game breaker.
Yeah, but he's not just a deep threat. That's one thing about him that has impressed me so much is he's not just a guy that you have him go deep and try to put the top off the defense. He can run intermediate routes. He obviously can catch short passes and then turn them into big gains. He is actually a pretty good route runner. And so he's to me, he has proven himself to be a complete wide receiver. Not just the fastest guy in the league.
I would put him at four.
That sounds about right to me.
So I think my rankings would go probably Julio, Michael Thomas, Hopkins, Tyreek. That'd probably be my top four.
I think I might take Hill over Hopkins. And Hopkins
is
great.
That's where I was heading towards. I think I might too. I think yes, I would.
Just what he his speed is so elite. And I know Hopkins is really, really good, don't get me wrong, but I just don't think there's a single person in the league that can run with Tyreek Hill. And so you have to have some help over the top on at all times with him. You can't even dream of covering him one-on-one. I don't think you can say that about Hopkins. There are corners in the league I'd say, okay, on this play, we're just going to leave him one-on-one. I mean, you might lose the battle, but I think with Tyreek Hill, it's like you're looking at the prospect of a 70-yard touchdown pass if you don't cover him deep.
Let's take another break back after this on WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Picchetti with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, May 29th, 2020. Nate, I have some, Nate is going to be tickled by this, I have some soccer sound for you.
Oh, boy.
To respond to from Taylor Twellman.
Now I'm listening.
Was on Scott Van Pelt with Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter, ESPN soccer analyst. Here he talks about liking the idea of pumping in crowd noise.
I didn't think I would like the fake audio. I'm all for it. And I didn't realize that until the past weekend when I watched it and saying, you know what, for 90 minutes, soccer is all about, now listen, if you're going to play vuvuzelas, then I'd rather go play in oncoming traffic. But if your audio engineer is on point, I think it adds to the viewing experience. It's going to be interesting to see how the NFL and the NBA look at this because both leagues are watching intently.
He also talks about MLS likely getting started soon in Orlando.
I think MLS is going to obviously get going here soon. Now, ideally, the league would like for that to kick off in Orlando with a tournament at Disney Wild World of Sports with the NBA joining forces about 15, 18 days later after that. Now, there's a little discrepancy because the league wants to do 5 minimum games. The players want 3.
Nate Buchady, your thoughts?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see if this thing in Orlando comes off because I don't really think the players want to do it, to be honest with you. I think they are negotiating whether or not they need to do it. This competition, I think the league looks at it and says, well, this is an opportunity to get some content for ESPN that'll make them happy. We got a TV deal coming up nationally with them in a few years. I think the players look at it and go, okay, well, what is this competition? Why should we care if we win it? It's not a regular season thing. It's what's it for? Is it going to be for a Champions League spot? How motivated should we be? And I wonder how many guys will actually go, even if they vote to do it. Some guys are going to feel like, hey, if they've got kids who have health issues and things like that. I know that's been brought up by a few guys. They just might not go. But I like hearing from Taylor Twellman that they'll get back to playing no matter what in some way, whether that's down in Orlando or just waiting a little bit longer and getting a regular season going. Hopefully, we're soon to having soccer back in one of those two forms.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, coming up, we've got Stan Weber at 7 o'clock for the entire hour to talk some football and whatever Stan Weber wants to talk about. That will lead us into Gary Lezak with the weekend forecast. At 8:30, we'll have Mike McFarlane to talk some baseball. James Krause will talk USC at 9:05. And we have some more comments from Chiefs assistant coaches like Brendan Daly. We will hear from him and a few others between now and 10 o'clock. We'll have some Chiefs talk for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.